This is the Finance Facilities Committee meeting of May 28, 2013 at the Central Services Office. And the first item on the agenda is the review and approval of minutes from the previous meeting. If everybody would take a moment to review those, comment on them if you haven't done already, and let me know if you have any questions or changes or modifications. Okay. Any other questions from anybody else? Okay. All right. The minutes will be then accepted as presented and posted. Just as an FYI, we do have a full agenda this evening, and we have another last-minute item that we'll be adding. So I just want to make sure we keep pace as much as we can and still have an in-depth conversation as we go along.
Okay. I got a procedural question. So we'll talk about all of these things tonight, and then at the board meeting, we're going to speak to some of them again at 7:30?
Not this evening.
No. Okay.
They'll come to the next meeting.
June 10th. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right. Yeah, the three-step process is Finance Committee review, and then 2 weeks later for board discussion.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Unless there's things that need to be.
And what, can I have a copy of the agenda? Yet?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, do you have board book? Are you on board book?
I will run that.
Yeah, you'll
be. Oh, okay, I got you.
Otherwise, board? We can get
I didn't
a paper copy.
That's okay. I'll go on. I don't need a paper copy.
You don't need a paper copy?
I can get on it.
Training those here, people.
Yeah. Sorry, we'll jumped ahead.
Still getting our feet wet here.
Yeah, we'll have to remember that tonight, too. We've got to log everybody on.
Well, you know, I rushed in here.
If you go to Quick View,
yep.
Then you can click on each of the items.
Mm-hmm. I like the Quick View. I like that.
Okay. The next item for you for our discussion tonight is the 2013-14 student fees. This was brought to the Finance Committee at a previous meeting and then to the board for discussion recently and was brought back to the Finance Committee.
I think you remember that conversation. Probably you were present at that meeting.
And the recommendation from the administration stands to retain the fees as they are listed here and then potentially have more in-depth discussion in the fall of 13-14 to again measure the board's wishes at that time. But since this is all part of our building of this the 13-14 budget, to leave it as it was originally recommended.
In speaking with Sam, who made the recommendation to send it back to finance, he also felt that it probably too late in the process to bring it back up, and that if it is going to be discussed, should be discussed pre-budget development, which would mean the fall.
So why is it too late? Let's just go to the other side.
We would need to go back and take $230,000 out of the budget expenditure line, and that's about 230. We'd probably take 250 just to be sure.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a relatively large adjustment to the budget.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of what we have prepared. And as you'll see again tonight, I think we presented the budget in March for its initial presentation. That's what the minutes said. Our new budget has just a $70,000 surplus. So it's pretty tight budget. And so we'd need to go back in and make some bigger adjustments than we anticipated. The other thing that, I mean, I think the board should consider is, as we've discussed the implementation of our structural changes for next year, we've talked about the possibility of not having the supply structure that we currently have. So students, you know, go buy a packet of supplies and they take it to school. We've been talking about, and we felt it was too late this year to bring that forward as a viable suggestion, but rather than have that list out there, we would just identify the general supplies for a STEAM environment and the general supplies for a literacy environment, and then purchase those and make them a part of the student fee structure. So it might be wise to just have that conversation in the fall about all the possible fees. I mean, we're talking about a one-to-one, which may involve a technology fee at some point for students. And so I think there's a lot to talk about in terms of fees and user fees, and philosophically, what do we believe? Should those who use the system pay for some portion of that?
Mm-hmm.
What does, when we talk, you say talk about it in the fall, is that
It would be a finance committee.
For this budget, for this year's budget.
No,
so, no,
it'd be for FY15.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm all good with that.
Yeah. No, no. The whole idea of talking about it for this upcoming fiscal year seems a little late in the game.
Understood. I just want to make sure that that's where I'm at.
If we did this and you didn't make adjustments in the budget, then we would be deficit spending.
We'd have to make
it. And we're not supposed to do that based on.
No, we would make the adjustments.
Okay.
In order to be a balanced budget. I think one board member suggested that we use some of our reserves to fund the fees. And I suggested that would be a structural deficit because we use these fees for operational expenses. And so a one-time expenditure of your surplus for capital projects, something like that, is an acceptable deficit. But an operational expenditure is not acceptable.
Now, when you guys, a little discussion about it since it's in front of us, when we compare this to like districts, where do we fall on the scale?
I'm not aware of any district that doesn't charge any kind of like a registration fee, textbook fee, some kind of fee. In fact, a lot of them have, like Anne said, even more fees, like a technology fee on top of their basic fees, mm-hmm. things like that. It's more the where we are in the scale of comparison of fee dollars assessed. Mm-hmm. That survey we haven't done that in a while.
I do think for the ultimate discussion this fall, it would be good to have a comparative analysis.
Survey.
It's a market. Mm-hmm. We want to know what the market is. Mm-hmm. And how we have normal. We mm-hmm. know where do you fall into it?
Wilson, you think you don't think that's an honor staff for
no
staff.
No, we just do a listserv.
Right. We'll say, right, it's not. It's
okay.
Not burdensome. What we'll be is trying to make sure that we're really comparing apples to apples, and we understand that we have a basic fee, but what is their fee called and what does it cover? You know, that kind of a, you know, so when you start talking about terms, it becomes a matter of discussing semantics with some colleagues. But we've got the Glenbauer feeders we can just compare mm-hmm. ourselves to very easily. And then we can go farther out if need be. But I think just comparing ourselves regionally with the Glenbark feeders might be just even beneficial to see, because we had this discussion at the case business managers meeting one time not too long ago, and I want to think that we were on the low end. Or we were middle to low, not the most expensive when you compare basic fees. So we'll get more
details. I recall, it might have been 4 years ago, we did some sort of a survey.
Mm-hmm.
And as I recall, at that time, we were toward the lower range of student mm-hmm. fees.
We can definitely put together some really, you know, some good comparisons of, you know.
And we should do both. We should do our basic fees
and
the
any other ancillary
participation fees.
Right.
And do we think, and again, that not knowing, again, the third meeting of the term here, tenure, but would we be getting any goodwill with the community if we just say a 5% reduction in fees, or this would just be let's just table it to the fall and
well, we didn't get much traction on the abatements.
Right.
So
$2.7 million.
Right.
I would say that there would not, I don't know that a 5% reduction, which would maybe be, you know, $20 or something like that, it's going to make the governor as much goodwill.
Now, to me,
and that's at the junior high, probably. Mm-hmm. You know, much less at the.
And really, we're here for all of the stakeholders, not just the parents mm-hmm. and students, mm-hmm. right? I mean, so it's the taxpayers, in my mind, you know, and I know I have talked to you about this, but at the end, you're looking at user fees. And if I didn't have any users of the system, I'd want user fees in it if I was a taxpaying person without users.
Yeah.
And that's just, now I know on our budget there's other things happening, so it's not one for one. I do have a question, and this may be in this, and I just, you know, if I have multiple children, is there reduction in turnout, which is flat no matter.
Only participation more than one activity, your rate.
If I have two kids and they have two activities,
no.
Or is it per kid?
Right. So if I'm doing three different activities at Hadley, then my first one is 30, my second one is reduced.
So there's no family discount.
We did talk about a family discount a couple of years ago when we were examining our fees, and we were examining fees, you know, in light of should we raise them or not, and we talked about a family fee and decided against it, just keeping it simple.
To me, what is the market doing? Give me a comparison to the market, because at the end of the day, I mean, that's the world we live in, and are we doing what's appropriate? We may learn that we're at the low end and that people have technology fees, and they may have better technology than us. You know, so at the end, if you remove these fees, you're going to remove other things from the budget.
We definitely would. Yeah.
So there, what is that? What are we going to lose? And that ultimately, if these were removed or lowered, what are you going to take out of the budget? I want to know that.
Sure.
You're going to weigh it.
Sure.
You know, and you're going to send cost benefit analysis.
Also, you have to remember that we do have a fee waiver process in place for the parents, for the families who are on the free and reduced meal process, so that is in place. And we also offer parents payment plans.
Now,
so
is that 100%? You're either 100%, it's either zero, or you're paying the whole thing.
Correct.
There's no
if you
program.
Qualify for the free and reduced,
and
free and or reduced, then all your required fees are waived.
And that's about 500 students.
Yes.
500 students get waivers.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now that's all driven by school code, right?
Yes.
Driven by the National School Lunch Programming Office.
Okay.
We have linked our fee waiver process to the National School Lunch application.
But the law about waivered fees is a school code law.
Correct. Some districts have a secondary application process. So you then have to start proving income to get your fees waived.
But
we have opted out today.
Patrick, you may get more goodwill in the community not having to go out and buy those supplies at the end of the year, at the end of the summer, than even a fee waiver. I can't surmise where the goodwill would come from, but some families may, you know, because the lists are different from year to year, they're different from grade to grade,
yeah.
And there's not
okay.
Isn't there some buying power too?
We typically try to work the PTAs, you know,
right.
Put these packages together, and that was one of the reasons we didn't want to go down that road this year because they had already begun that work.
Right.
But I know they work with like Staples to get buying power, but we would have even greater
I would think so. And right now with the think tank initiative, they're sharing everything anyway.
Yeah.
So to me, I think probably more appropriate.
Well, that's what we thought. We were just late in the conversation, and so.
And I think, you know, Dr. Rubin, I think that's perfect messaging. Let's, you know, if we're going to stay with fees, but the board, you know, the board is going to take a look at packaging materials, and as you know, fees are going to stay the same level as last year. As you know,
but it's a topic to look at.
Yeah, and then you know, we're also considering looking into the fall of this year, but as an initiative, we're going to put these packages together. Again, I'm all about let's get the message out there so the parents understand that we're just not trying to hack here.
So in terms of bringing this forward to the board for action at our next meeting, so we wouldn't go discussion action at this point unless you advise us to do so, since we've already been to finance twice, discussion once, we would suggest going to action.
I'm fine.
Not tonight.
Okay.
No, on June 10th.
Okay.
It's not on our other business agenda.
I would defer to your judgment on this. I don't see an issue with that.
As long as
we've already had a lot of discussion.
And we'll still be able to have discussion at that meeting before taking action.
On the 2015 budget.
Right.
It's going to be jam-packed.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. We'll move this item then over to action on June 10th.
Okay. Thank you very much. The next item is a plan to amend our 457B retirement plan. The school district has in place for its employees a 403B plan, which is a document that, you know, we amended previous meeting for other purposes. But what we'd like to do is take our 457B plan and also move it to CPI for compliance issues and common remitters. CPI is a third-party administrator, and right now we're self-administering the 457B plan, and it'd be preferred if we had a third-party administrator actually doing it on our behalf. So what this document does is it's an amendment to our existing 457 plan because we have them in place, but it's literally moving the compliance and the governance of the 457B to CPI, who's currently doing our 403B plan. So if you have
I'm shocked you're doing it. I didn't know that you were self-administering.
Oh, yeah.
What's the cost?
Would be an additional $30 a month, $38
a month.
Yeah. A participant?
No, total.
Oh, total. Oh.
But as more participants participate in the 457B plan, that cost would go down. Because there's a minimum. There's a monthly minimum. Right now, we don't have enough participants in 457B.
Who's doing the compliance right now?
We are. Yes, I am.
And does the district contribute
no.
to that?
No. This is all employee deductions. All self. It's strictly the 403B and the 457B plans are strictly employee monies that they have deducted.
So we're going to have an arm's length agreement with CPI. Should anything happen to this plan, they're acting as
our agent.
Our agent. Are they acting as trustee for this plan?
Yes. They are, they are monitoring it for the IRS guidelines, and they're also our common remitter also. So instead of writing 16 different checks to the six, or the 10 different checks to the different companies, we send the money to CPI. They then flow it and flow it to the
So trustee and fiduciary of the plan? Mm-hmm.
Correct.
And at this point, the regulation has been much more increased by the IRS.
Yes. That's the main reason for making this change.
2009 is when the IRS finally came down and said, you now have to treat your 403Bs just like you treat 401Ks. So that's why we've gone through this whole process of having a third-party administrator. There was such a low enrollment in the 457s that we thought we could manage it on our own. We're thinking now that it needs to be managed outside, and also as the potential for retirement plan changes with the state level, more and more people might be looking for alternatives. Mm-hmm. And this would be a great thing to offer them, but as you do that, it widens that pool, and so it needs to be with compliance outside of our hands.
How many people are in the 457 plan?
We have two companies currently, AXA and Valic, and I think we have a total of maybe 5 employees participating. It's a very unknown thing. We haven't really marketed it.
Well, it was the first kind of plan, wasn't it, before the 403Bs came out?
Actually, the 450s here at 40, I've never worked with a 457 plan before here, and we introduced that in 2005. Mm-hmm. So even prior to 2005, we didn't have a 457B. So that was something new that, again, it spurred on. There were IRS changes where you could have both, and they weren't limiting each other, and things like that. So we do have some employees that are taking full advantage of both plans.
Do we have an early exit fee if 5 turns to 3 and then you just say CPI just says no or penalty or?
I don't believe so, because I think what happens then is then our monthly minimum due to them just becomes larger. They have a $50 monthly minimum to manage the plan. And because both of these companies, AXA and Valic, pay that fee on our behalf, we just need more participation to kind of like wipe out the board's cost.
So there's 5 employees in this right now?
I believe there's 5 or 7.
So some, you know, it's $30.
What it is it's $350 a month per employee that we have to pay CPI for administering the plan. But they have a $50 minimum. So we don't have enough employees making up that $50. We're not. So the difference is $38.50 right now.
Outsourcing this makes sense.
And it can only, and again, if we market it and more people get into it, then there is no cash out of pocket. Mm-hmm. Because right now the vendors are paying that fee to CPI on our behalf, but they're not paying it out of the employees' money. So we told them that was not allowed.
Okay, so there's no penalty clause or early exit clause or anything like that. So, okay. And who filled out all the X's and the boxes and the email? Okay.
It basically is the exact same language as our 403B plan,
okay,
allowing for the same things and things like that.
CPI's embedded as...
Yes. Mm-hmm. CPI's been in the business for numerous years. They're a national company. They quite a few to school districts. When we first had to look for an alternative in 2009, we had a consortium of school districts, the West Suburban School District Consortium for 403B compliance. I think it's actually the name of the consortium. I think about 50 school districts went together and did a bid for compliance companies. CPI was one of them at the time, but we chose somebody else who ultimately went out of business, and CPI bought them out.
Okay.
And we've been very pleased with CPI's. We changed to be, for them to be the common remitter not too long ago, and it's been working out great. Staff are seeing their money invested a lot quicker than us cutting checks and sending them to the company. So I think it's a win-win all around.
How are you going to market that to increase the enrollment?
I think we'll work with HR to get the proper documents in place so that they understand. Right now we're directing them to CPI if they have a 403B. So I think it's a matter of, and once we tell, you know, I'm sure once we inform the sales reps that we are now at CPI's compliance, I mean, they're going to start talking to their clients. They may have already been talking to their clients saying, oh, by the way, there's all this other option out here. I think it will just be a natural driver also as people really start planning for their retirement if the changes are made at the state level for the teacher pension plans. I think that will be a big driver for this.
Great program.
Yeah.
Okay, should we move on to, we'll move this on to the agenda for discussion with action on the 24th.
Right. Okay, the next item is the supplemental pay committee recommendation. I'm going to turn that over to Lori Campbell.
Supplemental pay?
Intergovernmental agreement.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Marquardt is next.
No, intergovernmental agreement with Marquardt. I'm sorry, I skipped ahead. This is the intergovernmental agreement that we have with Marquardt School District for the food services, and what this amendment does is it incorporates the breakfast program that we will be offering at Churchill. And that is the only change.
That's the only change to that.
It's just to itemize and list the costs. Yeah.
Actually, it was one of the questions that Joe raised this morning as he was looking at the bills was we had a $77,000 check to Marquardt and wondered what that was for. And that's, we have two things which we might pay money to Marquardt for. One is if we have a special needs child who's attending a CASE program, that's our special education cooperative, and that child may attend a program in one of our other districts in the Glenbard feeders. And if that's the case, we will be billed tuition for those students. So we could be paying Marquardt for a child's tuition, or if it's not that, then it will be our food service.
But you'll see a monthly food service payment to
right.
Marquardt.
That's what I noticed.
Mm-hmm. So this just amends that intergovernmental agreement so that we can do the breakfast program next year.
So the breakfast program's needed.
Correct.
A reduced lunch.
At that school.
At that school. And then we're at 48%. So mm-hmm. feel pretty comfortable that we'll be over that 40% for next fall.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. When did that switch?
In mid-year. All of a sudden it switched.
It was a trend that, again, at the beginning of the year wasn't there, but that, you know, when things finally all shake out, it was a trend that we saw happening. And with the National School Lunch Program, that's one of the things. Once you trigger that, you have to offer the next year. Then let it proceed.
39% at the end of next year that
right.
you don't have to order.
You could, but again, you would then have the discussion about do you want to pull it back because it might be a program that is...
There's nothing to restrict us from offering program.
Right.
We're required to offer it over 40%. I mean, if we think that the breakfast program has strong interest at Churchill next year, we could easily decide to incorporate it at another building
right.
the following year, not as a mandate, but simply...
another
part of the food program that
well,
we offer.
That I guess begs the question, what are the other percentages at the other schools? I mean, I'm guessing they're low, but I don't know.
I think Lincoln is about 25, maybe.
Okay.
And then Franklin and Forest Glen are more like 8. None or were, you know. Now we'll do that whole report all over again in the spring. That's part of our end of the year report to look at.
Hanley is definitely. I think it's probably in the high 20s. If any, and again, I'm guessing because I'm just.
Yeah, it's trending upward too.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right.
They're all trending upward.
Churchville is trending upward.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a trend.
Yeah.
But we can always offer the breakfast program across the district we want to and still get the same reimbursements from the National School Lunch Program. As Ann said, we're only required when you hit a certain threshold.
Okay.
parents to offer it.
And so this recommendation, the only cost associated with it is the two hot buffet serving tables and then the additional part-time position. Is that what I understand? Because it says additional cost. So.
Right. Directly related to the breakfast program is the...
setting up those tables, but they're really a grab and go. I mean, almost.
They're a grab and
go. So when they come in, they grab it and then they go to the class.
Yeah.
Right.
But that's the only cost.
It's mostly the man hours. So for the breakfast program, it's just additional hours for staff to work the additional hour.
And just help me out here, because the food's a wash. Because we're getting the food and then we get reimbursed for the food. So the food's a wash. And so the cost associated is.
It's mostly associated with. And I don't even think we'll need hot buffet because we're not serving a hot breakfast.
That reference there is because we're potentially expanding the lunch programs. Adding the second line at Churchill School.
That's confusing. It's right. Not really related to the breakfast program.
Correct.
It's just another food service cost that we'll have at some point.
Correct.
Okay.
But we will have a staff time in the morning to.
So one additional. It'll only be one person facilitating this.
And really only a what?
It's an extra hour to their day.
Yeah.
So current position, not an additional part-time position.
Right. The additional part-time position was for the expansion of the secondary lunch line at Churchill that we are talking about doing for next year because of the adding the, opening up the large gym and having two lunch lines. There's some confusion.
Yeah, I would just say for clarity's sake, when we discuss the board, I mean, we keep the breakfast.
Yeah, this needs to be revised to just the breakfast program.
So the breakfast really has no additional cost.
Other than 1 hour a day for a staff member to work the breakfast time.
Adding 1 hour to an existing staff member.
Right.
Okay. And then as long as we brought up the lunch, that's because we're doing, is Churchill the one who's switching?
Churchill and Franklin are proposing to change their lunch hours back to a single block of 55 minutes. So we need to set up, at Churchill we'll have to set up two lines versus a single line. So that's where we'd have to buy the additional table and serving table and an additional staff member.
And you'll bring that forward at another time.
Right.
That's already forward.
Okay. That's already been talked about and discussed.
That's up for action this evening.
Oh, there you go.
With the lunch
tables.
The portable tables.
Right.
So this is included in that portable table budget?
Yes.
Okay. I just didn't see the detail.
Right. We wouldn't bring that, the additional cost to supporting that forward because it will be less than $10,000.
Gotcha. That's fine. I don't need to see this material. And the link, so this is probably a better question for this evening. I said this morning.
We're almost there.
Tonight.
That Churchill is going to go to two lines, but Ben Franklin doesn't have to.
Ben Franklin's participation, their numbers right now don't need a second line. They've checked it out, they've run the numbers, and it doesn't require a second line at this point.
So more kids like hot lunch at Churchill.
You have a higher population you're serving,
right.
And
students don't go home.
Students
Churchill.
Go home
where they
stay
at
Franklin.
At
they
Lincoln and Correspondent and Franklin, students still have.
But Churchill.
Churchill has never been able to go home.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because
well,
of their location.
We bust 90%, we bust the majority of kids in because of just the way where it is.
Patrick, it's our third meeting, so we're not
We should have started at 5.
And just keep in mind that this will be a learning curve you'll have for quite some time, so be glad for a little break over the July so that you can.
Poor Dean's not here. We know all this stuff that Dean doesn't
know.
All right, well, thanks for educating.
Sure, no problem. Okay, so then we'll bring this item forward for discussion at the next board meeting.
You're going to talk so much about Egg McMuffins.
Right. Okay, and now
supplemental pay.
Sorry about that.
Part of our agreement with the Teachers Association with GEA is that there's a supplemental pay committee that meets three times a year, and at these meetings we take a look at the structure for supplemental pay and make any adjustments that we need to make, cycling on or cycling off of activities, making sure that it's up to date. So what you see here is a recommendation that's coming from that group. The group has board representation, administrative representation, and teacher representation on it. And we've met twice since the start of the school year. We did not meet in the fall because we were still involved in bargaining with GEA, so our group didn't meet. We met in March, we met in May, and asked for any recommendations for additions to the supplemental pay structure. And the one that came through was the Safe Spot Club. Our committee talked about it. This is a group that's been meeting at Hadley this year with 20 kids involved in it. A place to come in after school and talk about what they want to talk about, and just you know, literally what it says, a safe spot to be. We also took a look at the band and choir stipends at Hadley at our meeting. And
I'm sorry, I don't mean to interject. Can I ask questions as you go through
that? Sure, go right ahead.
Is there other, I'm sure there's not, and you talked about it in your meetings.
Oh, no, that's
there's
okay.
Another, there's not another safe kind of group in the schools now? This is a brand new concept.
This is a new. This is a new club that's been. They've been meeting this year.
And new what club, but is the concept new? Is the is there another club that has characteristics to?
No, there's a Wildcat Workshop, which is an after school activity for students to drop in and do a variety of activities and homework help and that sort of thing. This is really a bullying prevention group that students come together to talk about, you know, how they're feeling in school and build relationships in this group. So it's really, it serves a very different purpose than Wildcat Workshop.
And that group, is that led, I don't know who that teacher is, but is that led by the school psychologist or sociologist, or is it just a teacher?
It's just a teacher. And it's not a therapeutic group.
Okay. That's okay.
No. It's just a group of kids who come together who may not otherwise have a group that they've joined or felt comfortable joining in the school. I think when it was first discussed, it really did come out of the culture of care work and bullying prevention to say, what about kids who don't connect somewhere? Where do they go for after school? And this is that group.
Can you do me a favor?
Sure, Joe.
Just another education here. On your little chart, the supplemental pay chart.
Mm-hmm.
I can understand the groups 1 through 5.
The step has to do with the number of years that a teacher has served in that position. So the first year that they're coaching, say, a group 2 activity, they would be at step 1, and the stipend would be $1,800. The second year that they're a coach would be 23. Third year and fourth year. And then even if they've coached 20 years, they remain at step 4.
Yeah, and you guys determine what a group 1 activity is to group 5, and that's based on?
Student contact hours.
Okay.
Right.
So the number of students and then how long it is.
It's the student contact hours. That's what we look at in terms of the group assignment. And
so
that's what the supplemental pay committee
does. By example, if I'm a teacher, I'm the head of the group.
Sure.
There's 20 students.
Yep.
And I spend there 1 hour. Is that 20 hours?
It's 1 hour.
It's 1 hour. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter the number of students.
Correct.
We would look at the number of sponsors for an activity.
Correct.
Once the number exceeds,
depends on the activity.
Right. 30, 50, 80. You know, wrestling is one of those groups where we've seen a great deal of growth in the number of participants.
Or in sport.
We've had to look at, additional.
Right. Versus something
coaches.
Like cross country, where you could supervise more kids.
Okay. That's one of the
questions.
So we that group self-regulates how many sponsors by the child teacher ratio.
And they typically, if they feel like it's getting to be a point where they've got a lot of kids coming in and the numbers are increasing, they'll come back to us and ask for an additional sponsor.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Oh, no problem.
And this, you know, this was probably the one of the more complicated ones to start you out because of changing, rearranging the stipends for choral and orchestra.
Do these sponsors turn over a lot?
Somewhat. It really depends on the activity. So you'll see on the personnel report from time to time a name that may look like a teacher's resigning, but it's really resignation from a club, and you'll see the activity, what they're resigning from or what they're stepping down from, and then we post and then we fill.
How do you fill them?
We fill them either internally or externally.
So if it's internally, you may get 3 candidates. And
right,
you
and the principal then decides.
The principal decides. Mm-hmm. At the principal level. Okay.
Right.
And do we sunset some clubs eventually?
We do.
The 1970 disco club.
Exactly.
And so, but you'll go outside. A non-teacher could be a coach. If you had a volleyball coach,
that's right.
You could be a non-teacher.
We could. Okay. It depends on the position, though, because there are certain positions that do require certification.
Same scale, though.
Right.
They were saying files, same.
Correct. Yes. Teachers get the first opportunity.
Yeah.
That's what's bargained in the contract.
Okay.
But if it doesn't fill with the teaching staff, then we go outside. And oftentimes our support staff will do some sponsorship. And we've even had people from outside of our regular employee group come in and coach for us with different activities.
Right.
So Safe Spot is the one club that we're looking to add. Then we did a lot of house cleaning, so to speak, with Hadley Band and Hadley Choir. A lot of changes have happened with both programs. The band program, it's actually an incredible problem to have. Keeps growing. More kids are involved. I don't know if you've heard the band play, but they're phenomenal. So, again, a great problem to have. But we had a proposal from the band sponsors saying, you know, I don't know if you've looked at this, but we're running a lot more rehearsals than we've ever run in the past because of the number of kids. We can't fit them all in one space. And in addition to that, even if we could fit them all in one space, we don't feel like, you know, having this gigantic band doesn't make sense in terms of getting the kids an opportunity to play. So we took a look at the stipends, the current stipend structure, and looked at their rehearsals and did an analysis of that and have come up with the recommendations. First of all, with Hadley Band for this year, taking a look at what has been paid out in stipends and what we feel should be. There's currently two group two. We think it should be three group three. The difference is $900, so we're recommending a one-time payment of $900 because the rehearsals have already taken place this year. Then for next year, the band is going to be, they are projecting even more kids to be involved, and we're recommending that it change to the four group three stipends and eliminate that group two. Then with choir.
So.
Go ahead.
So do you want our opinions about the those?
Sure.
Okay. Is that tradition where during negotiation process we may not be in or out, and then when we finally signed, we retro pay?
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what we did.
Is that customary?
Mm-hmm. That is. Now you can bargain that there isn't a retro, but that's not what we've typically done.
But this wasn't part of the contract. This is truly an executive decision by the board to
give the $900. Yes, that is correct.
And
that was not part of our.
And we talked about that quite a bit at our supplemental pay committee because we haven't had a recommendation like this in the past. But we felt that because they had submitted a recommendation in the fall, we hadn't met, we couldn't get to it because of the bargaining, that we felt that it was fair to bring this forward at this point.
We've never done this before.
We haven't. But I'm not, well, I can't say never.
Yeah. But this
would be new. Right.
To adjust to a reality.
Right.
Correct.
Again, $900, not a lot of money, but I want to be careful of precedent setting here.
Mm-hmm. I hear you.
For reasons, whatever they were, contract wasn't signed.
Now, I can tell you what we have done that might be similar to this has been that there have been requests for additional coaches mid-year.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have gone back and instituted the coaches mid-year where we, you know, because we brought to supplemental pay and instituted something mid-year. So we
But they were paid going forward. This
right.
wasn't retro.
Right. But we would have done that had we not been embargoed. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I understand that. It's an additional resources brought on board, and then we go to the board and say, okay, we're bringing somebody on, and we want to add
right.
somebody going forward. This is a look back.
It is.
This is a look back.
It definitely is.
Have we ever looked back the other way, though?
Taking money away?
Yeah. I mean, they suddenly don't have a student now.
Well,
yeah.
We're doing that right now. I mean, we, in the sense that we changed the structure of one of our teams for excellence. And so some people have served less time than they would have normally. And so for a one-time payment, we aren't paying them the full stipend,
Yeah, but we haven't clawed back.
No, he said.
She's saying they haven't got the same amount of money for the level four or five.
We're not doing a reduction from their salary.
Right. But they have not said, you spent less hours last year, you owe us $900.
Oh,
there's not been a clawback.
Yeah, I was going with
that. No, that's a different.
Yeah.
No, not that.
Okay.
Well, and I think it's important to hear if that's a concern. Mm-hmm.
I think it's a concern for me.
Well, and so I think that then the next question is, do we take it to the full board for discussion with that concern expressed, so that other board members can weigh in on that?
It's not the monetary value, it's the precedent.
It's a legitimate concern. I mean, why was it not reevaluated as it was occurring so that it didn't come back?
Well, because the Supplemental Pay Committee didn't meet while bargaining was going on. Finished in February.
Right, and bargaining was going on for how long? 18 months,
that's what I'm saying.
So
that's why we thought it was a little different.
But it's still within this year. Still within the fiscal year. It's not going back to next year. To last year.
Right. Well, I have less concern based on that unusual situation because an 18-month-long negotiation. I agree with you on precedent, 100%.
So the question is, do we wait to bring this forward? Do you want it to go forward to the full board for discussion, or would you rather that Lori re-meet with supplemental pay?
I'm fine with it moving forward.
Yeah, I'm fine. Yeah, I'd rather hear what the board's opinion is.
And if we need to meet again,
yeah.
If we need to adjust it, we adjust it.
In the interim, if there's any additional information that
it's not the money. I just don't want somebody to pull up meeting minutes or something and then get into an agreement.
I understand.
900 becomes 1800 becomes 5000.
Right, and I think clearly as board members we should make sure that this doesn't become a precedent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes we could even use language that would indicate that's not precedent.
Going back to your first chart.
Yeah.
How does the dollar amounts, are they just similar to the last year?
These are the newly bargained dollar amounts.
Okay.
So they were rounded up and then fixed for the length of the contract. In previous contracts, they changed or incremented every year, but in 2012-2016, this is the fixed amount for 4 years. Because that was always confusing when I bring up recommendations for using last year's money or next year's money.
Right. I guess it would be helpful for me to have an insurance that shows me the delta
between last year and this year?
Yes.
The difference between the stipends?
Because I think Drew's saying that the stipend dollar amounts have changed year over year.
Otherwise, they don't change unless they're in the
collective bargaining. Okay,
we are running out of time, so we're going to skip the tentative budget since you have a copy of it and since we have had a previous discussion at Finance. I know for Joe and Patrick, you haven't had the benefit of that discussion, but what we'll do is go ahead and you have it to look at. You can give Bob a call and questions between now and June 10th when we'll put it on for discussion with the full board, and then the tentative budget really then is we ask you to take action to put it on display for 30 days. So it's still a tentative budget for the whole summer, and fluid. But we do want to get to the other topic, which I believe there was a commitment to a community member to talk about a request to itemize all of the bills as they are published on our website. So we put our bills out on the website and And the community member asked for there to be a description following each of those payments, and also to put the detail, I think, to our bank cards out there. And so there was a commitment to talk about that at finance and make a determination as to, you know, what members of the finance committee felt about that. And we have, we have almost a full board. We've got a full board, so I guess you can all weigh in.
So if I could ask, a question, when we don't put this being the detail, all
correct.
This would be the detail.
That's correct.
But not the receipts behind.
No.
This.
No.
Okay.
No. And then the other piece, which is for the check register, so a check that's written to energy, whatever,
right.
then would need to have a. The request was to have a description of what that was for after each one. And that would have to be manually entered by the business office.
So
we don't have a way of gathering that.
So even here, is the request for a description?
No, that's different. That's because that's a bank card.
Yeah, they don't go anymore. From a transparency standpoint, there's nothing.
That's what will be published.
These can be FOIA'd anyways.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
So I would just say, if we're storing these, how long are we making them available so that we don't end up having years and years of them stored? As long as we give the stakeholders, the taxpayers, adequate time to review them, and then eventually pull them down so we're not wasting space on anything. I don't know
the storage. The storage issue.
Yeah.
I mean, we archive things after a year, so.
Okay. Well, to me, I don't even think they need to be on their lot long. I mean, once they're approved and moved on.
Yeah,
that's
one or two months.
And then,
you said, it's archivable, and it's always information that's retrievable.
Right. And they can FOIA it back again if they want for any reason. To spend man hours to put descriptions on every check, I don't know that that's the best use of time. Would love to hear other people's feedback, but at this point, I would think that if there's specific questions on things on the check registry, those questions could be asked in an email, and we can see what's appropriate. We may see a trend.
Well, and we do ask that you periodically do a random check of our check registry and ask to see the backup to those, just as a part of your function as finance committee.
I asked a couple of those questions.
You did today, yeah. Six of them.
Six of them to be exact.
And what's our check volume?
Pardon me?
Our check volume.
Well,
you
get the check registry.
Right.
That comes to you as part of the finance.
Yeah, and that's only like
it's at five pages.
20, yeah, but I would say it's like a quarter of the entire invoices that are paid, right? The credit card volume.
Oh, the credit card volume is a small percentage of the volume of checks.
Oh, it is?
Oh, yeah.
Credit card is one payment. The BMO on the list is says BMO.
But the itemized number.
Right. But,
the line items.
I can have a payment to school specialty that would give you 300 invoices because of how they ship the product, how the items were ordered, they're ordered from five different locations, things like that.
I agree with you. I say, you know, if that credit card information is readily available and we're retrievable anyways, let's take a first step and publish that, and then, you know, continue looking, transparency, check registers, but let's be cognizant. And as board members, we have a role to, like you said, double check that those check registers were audited annually. I'm fine with that as a first step.
Yeah, that's our responsibility.
Yeah. I'm saying we won't. I'm just saying let's take a step.
I agree.
Okay, and we do have one walk-on that we wanted to share with you very quickly, and since everybody's here, that makes out two. You've known? In our conversations with our principals, and in looking at the development of a STEAM curriculum Over the next couple of years, we did want to bring a request for consideration to the board to reinstating one of the math specialists, which we would look at as being, we would look at converting all of our math specialists to STEAM specialists, and have three math specialists to do that work and to both service students who are in the bottom 30% tier, as well as work with teachers in the professional development of the implementation of the STEAM curriculum. So we don't really have time for discussion of that this evening, so what I would do is ask for your consideration of that, and then we'll bring it back potentially for finance and possibly discussion even on the 10th and the 24th.
The one comment I'd like to make for that, if you don't mind, is that with the increased rigor, the pushing down,
the compacting
yes, that's
and accelerating.
Accelerating. I think it's an ideal position to be added before
And tried to give you a little background on that in here. So we'll bring it back for a deeper discussion on June 10th.
In finance?
In finance and possibly discussion as well. We might do both in one meeting. But we'll see how that, you know, if you have a chance to give me feedback, you know, in the next week, that would be great.
Okay. Thank you.
And the same is true of the tentative budget. So that will come back to the full board for discussion. It's the second time it's been to finance, as I mentioned earlier. We'll bring that back for discussion as a tentative budget and prepare for posting on the 24th. Any other items in the last 2 minutes? New board members, new finance committee members, nice job.
One thing you do have, and all the board members have at their place, is the listing of the finance committee meetings, which actually is 1 hour before the regular board meeting schedule. And Carolyn Gus, who's Bob Cicerelli's administrator, will be sending out meeting invites to the committee members for those times. So you'll have that plus the regular board meeting on your calendar. So those will be coming forward. Coming at you, but here's the
e-paper
copy.
So, Ann, Dr. Rebus, the items that weren't discussed, and I interrupted you so rudely and we didn't finish, are those going to be brought up at another finance meeting, or how does it?
The only item we didn't discuss was the tentative budget. So we'll bring that back to both finance and discussion as part of the... So you'll have a chance to look at
and the reorg of some of the clubs.
We can bring that back to finance if you like. But okay. We also plan on taking it for discussion. You indicated that you were comfortable that moving to discussion.
The clubs?
The supplemental pay.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
And that's part of the supplemental pay recommendation.
Yeah.
But we can bring it back for review for both.
No, if we're going to discuss that at the board, let's go ahead and discuss it. Okay. Let's get things moving.
Okay. Okay, then.
Okay, on that note, we will close the meeting at 7:29. Thank you very much.
Thank you.